Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak, as we know, deals in the main with the story of Bilam HaRasha, together with Balak. And there is a very important fundamental question that must be asked. We find, l'chaira, an enormous stira, a contradiction in the life and times of Bilam HaRasha. Because on the one hand, the Torah describes...
I think that's jumping it a bit.
On the one hand, the Torah describes Bilam HaRasha as being the Yoideya Das Elyon. What does that mean, Yoideya Das Elyon? He had abilities which, Chazal tell us to an extent, were greater than those of Moshe Rabbeinu. He clearly reached heights that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach, and this is expressed clearly in the Medrash. The Medrash says, V'loi kom Novi oid bi Yisrael kamoisha. A Novi, the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu, never arose in Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash makes the famous diuk, in Klal Yisrael, there never arose a greater Novi than Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval b'uma Yisraelam, but amongst the nations of the world, come, a greater Novi arose. And who was that? Bilam. Says the Medrash, Shloisha dvorim hoya Bilam godoil mimoisha. There were three aspects of Bilam's nevuah in which he was actually greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu did not know exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to him, but Bilam did. Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to actually look at the Shekhinah, but Bilam was able, etc., etc. This is hard to understand, but either way, it clearly says that there was an element of the Nevuah of Bilam HaRasha that was greater yet than those of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Bilam reached heights of Nevuah that surpassed the levels of Moshe Rabbeinu. How on earth do we reconcile that, however, with what we find, for example, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? It's also a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Bilam acted in the most immoral ways, had relations with the donkey that he rode on the next day, which the Gemara derives from a pasuk. How can it possibly be? How do we reconcile this seeming glaring contradiction? How can it be that somebody on the one hand has the ability, the koiches, to converse, as it were, with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to reach levels of nevuah that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't reach, and yet at the same time live a life which is so corrupt, which is so base, which is so low? This lechaira seems to be a stira gluya, and this is a contradiction that we'd like to try and explain if we can. How can it be that on the one hand, Bilam reached colossal levels of nevuah, levels that were unreached by anybody, even Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet at the same time he seemed to live a lifestyle which was corrupt, mushchas in his midos? How do those two go together? This is a question that is posed by the Mirror Rosh Hashiva Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. But before we reach his answer, I'd like to make a brief introduction. I will introduce with a story. The story is told about somebody here in Eretz Yisrael 40 or 50 years ago, a bocha, who had a remarkable memory. From a young age, he just seemed to know and remember Mishnayos, Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim. He just seemed to know Kol HaTorah Kula. One day he woke up and his entire memory was wiped. And he seemed now to be like a regular bocha of his age. And he, as you can imagine, was absolutely distraught. And he went to various Gedolei Yisrael to ask them for a bracha that his memory should be restored. Until this point, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and now he didn't. And he went, amongst others, to the stipler, and the stipler refused to give him a bracha. And he says, to the contrary, the fact that you have lost your memory, that is the bracha. That is the bracha. The bracha is that you should remain now in your new situation such that you will be able to achieve levels in Torah only through Omel. And the only bracha that the stipler was willing to give him was that indeed, if you are Omel bar Torah, then you should be Zoicha Legdula. But to have a bracha that your memory is recalled such that you will be able to reach levels of Torah without Omel, that's not a bracha. That's not a bracha that the stipler was willing to give. To the contrary, he said, the fact that you can now reach levels of Gadlus bar Torah only through Omel, that indeed is the greatest bracha. It is well known that the Vilna Goyen was offered by a malach min hashomayim to learn with him, and this malach, this magid, offered to learn with him Sisrei Torah, the deepest secrets of the Torah. I actually saw this quoted. There's a sefer, a famous sefer, a Kabbalistic sefer by the Vilna Goyen called Safra Detzinusya. In the Safra Detzinusya, in the Hakdoma, which is written by his prized Talmud Reb Chaim Volozhin, he writes the following words. Shomati mipiv HaKodosh. Reb Chaim Volozhin writes, I heard from my Rebbe the Vilna Goyen, from his own mouth, Shepa'omim Rabois, on many occasions, there appeared Magidim min HaShomayim, Malochim, who were willing and they offered to teach him Rozin Do'iraisa, the secrets of the Torah, B'loi Shum Omol, it would all be gifted to him on a silver platter. V'loi hita oznoi aleihem klal. And the Vilna Goyen did not pay any attention, thank you, but no thank you. And one of the Magidim, this is all Reb Chaim Volozhin reporting what he heard from his Rebbe, Hiftzir boi ma'oid, try to convince him, try to persuade him, no, I'll teach you the secrets of the Torah. And he said the following words, Eini reitzer, I do not want that my hasogas in Torah should come through some other medium gifted to me. Rather, I want chelki b'toirosi, b'toirosoi, should be ba'amoli, through my toil, asher omalti b'kol koichi, that which I have toiled with all my koyach. But Torah asher loyomalti, that which I did not have to toil for, but rather was just gifted to me, ein lohem bohem chefetz. I have no desire. I have no interest. That does nothing for me whatsoever. In fact, some explain, that Yaakov Avinu, as we are told in Chazal, Vayisroitzitzu habonim bekirbo, he was desperate to get out. And every time Rivka passed the Beis HaMedrash, he made a push, as it were, to join the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. And the question is obvious. Why would you want to leave? He was in B'mei'ai Imoi, and Chazal tell us quite clearly that in the womb of the mother you are sitting with a malach, and you're being taught Kol HaTorah Kula. Well, what could be better than that? Why would you want to leave and exit and enter the yeshiva of Shein Ve'eva? Here you are sitting with a malach Elohim Mimal, learning Kol HaTorah Kula. And the answer is precisely, but it's being gifted by a malach. It's not Torah which is being achieved through one's own omol v'yegia. And Yaakov Avinu said, as special and precious as it is to be able to learn Kol HaTorah Kula with a malach, but it's even more important, it's even more special to enter the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva, where I will have to be omol b'Torah and reach levels of Torah with my own toiling. We know the Pasuk says, Odom lo omol yulod. A person is born to toil. And as Reb Chaim Briske explained, it's a very simple equation. A person is not born to learn Torah, because he can learn Torah even prior to his birth. He can remain in the womb of his mother and will continue to learn with the Malach. So what's the difference between the Torah that he's learning when he's b'me'ai imoy, as opposed to the Torah that he will learn upon entering the world? The one difference is omol. Va'al zeh ne'ma odom lo omol yulod. A person is only born to toil in Torah. But to learn Torah, he can learn with a malach. That's not the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's fascinating. If you've ever been to a Shalom Zocher, you will notice that the minhag is they put on the table what's called arbus, round beans, which is really the food that is actually served, Rachmona Litzlan, to Avelim. And some explain that indeed, the Shalom Zocher, the simcha is actually tinged with Avelus, because the child has just lost all the Torah that he learned, b'me'ai imoy. And that's why we eat the food of Avelus. And yet at the same time, there definitely seems to be a very celebratory atmosphere when you come to a Shalom Zocher. It clearly is a big simcha. And the answer is, that is the simcha. Yes, we are mourning all the Torah that he's lost. But the simcha is, just like this bocher who lost his memory, that now, and only now, is he able to reach levels of Torah through Yegia, through Omol HaTorah. And all of that was not possible as long as the Malach was just gifting, spoon-feeding him, Kol HaTorah Kula. Therefore, that is the synthesis, as it were, the Shalom Zocher. On the one hand, the Avelus, but it really is outnumbered, as it were, by the feelings of Simcha, that now he can be Omol HaTorah himself. And this is something that we've discussed on many occasions, why Torah Shebaal Peh, even when Rebbe actually wrote the Torah, but it was still written in a cryptic fashion. It's written beremez. We all know, we learn a Gemara, we have to understand the Mishnah, there's sometimes words missing, there's a machloikas what the Mishnah means, there's a havamina, there's a maskona. Why is it not written clearly? Omol HaTorah. The level of Torah that we are trying to reach is a level which is attained and achieved through Omol. If it would all be written in a crystal clear fashion, then there's no more Omol HaTorah. And all of that is really the oimek of the story of the stipler. The stipler did not want to give this bocher a brocha that your memory should be restored such that you will know Kol HaTorah Kula. That's not a brocha. To reach heights in Torah without any omol, well, for that you could have remained b'me'ai imoy. You did not need to enter the world. You entered the world odom la'omol yulod. And if your memory was lost and you now have to toil for Torah, then that indeed, says the stipler, is the ultimate bracha. All of this I am mentioning by way of introduction to the vort of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Because one might think, and this is the mistake, one might think that this concept of omol is something specific to Limud Torah. We associate omol with Limud Torah. Im b'chukosai teilechu she'tiyu amelim b'Torah. So the concept of omol, the concept of amelus, the concept of yegia, of toil, of hard work, is normally one associated with limud Torah. Torah requires amelus. But here comes the big yesod that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz shares with us, and as we'll see in a moment, others also share with us, and this sheds great light on the whole parasha and on the whole life and times of Bilam. Because Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Sefer Sichas Musa in Maimar Pei, very famously says, we all know that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yam Suf, and they were able, literally, however we are to understand this, to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. We have no concept. We have no perception of what that could possibly mean, because we didn't experience it. And we know the famous line in Chazal, what the Shifcha al Hayom saw, the lowly maidservant, what she was only zeicha to see at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, was greater than any Nevuah, than Yecheskel ben Buzi, or any other great Novi. That's the famous line in Chazal. Said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's true. What the Shifcha was zeicha to see through Nevuah Mamish, Ruach HaKodesh, Gilu Yisborach, was greater than any Novi, but, as he said in Yiddish, Obaziot fort gibliben a shifcha. She nonetheless remained a shifcha. What happened to this shifcha as a result of the great gilui and revelation? And the answer is, nothing at all. And here comes the yesod. Because all of the lofty levels of kedusha, and of Nevuah, and of Ruach HaKodesh, and of Gilui HaShchinah, that the Shifcha, the lowly, simple maidservant, was Zoicha to, but she was Zoicha to it without any Omol. It wasn't a lifetime's work in order to achieve Nevuah, like it was with Yecheskel HaNovi and the other Nevuahs, and the other great Nevi'im. Yecheskel HaNovi rose from Madrega to Madrega until he was able to have the greatest Nevuah of all, the Maisa HaMerkava. But he achieved Nevuah and he was not gifted Nevuah. His Nevuah was achieved through a lifetime of personal Omol Ba'avodas Hashem. And that's why he became a Novi Elohim. And that's why he changed as a person. When Avodas Hashem, when levels, lofty levels of Avodas Hashem are achieved through Omol, rather than being gifted, then they become entrenched in the person. That becomes his very essence, and the person therefore and thereby becomes elevated. So when Chazal tell us, Yogati umotsosi ta'amin, Yogati, I toiled, and that way, umotsosi, I found it. It became part of me. Ta'amin, you can believe that. Because if not, if lo yogati umotsosi, al ta'amin. Don't believe in him, because that person, those levels, have no kiyum. Because it was all a gift. In other words, the concept of ovol, omol, is not limited to Torah HaKadosha. Amelus ba'Torah. Rather, it is a general principle in all of Avodas Hashem. You can have the loftiest levels that are attained, but if they are attained by virtue of a gift, then the person remains unchanged. The Shifcha is fort geblieben a Shifcha. She remained a Shifcha. Why? She didn't have to achieve greatness. She didn't have to become a Novi or a Nevuah. Rather, it was gifted. Everybody at Kriyas Yamsuf could point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a revelation. That's not the same as Yecheskel HaNovi. And therefore, when Chazal point out that the Shifcha was Zoicha to a Nevuah greater than Yecheskel, it's not meant to be a compliment to the Shifcha. Rather, it is matter of fact with regard to the particular level of Nevuah. But what's relevant to us, as the Mirror Rosh Hashiva points out, is the Shifcha is fort geblieben a Shifcha. And says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in conclusion, that is what happened to Bilam. Our question that we asked in the beginning is really a mistake. What was the question we asked in the beginning? If Bilam was Zoicha to such phenomenal levels of Nevuah, Ad kadei kach, that Chazal said to an extent it was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, how do we reconcile that with a immoral lifestyle, the absolute rock bottom that we find with Bilam? There is no contradiction that needs to be answered over here. Bilam is geblieben a Bilam. Because the levels of his Nevuah were not achieved through Omol. Why did Bilam become a Novi in the first place? So we know what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that we didn't want the nations of the world to have a taina. Had you only sent us a Navi, maybe we too would have been a chosen nation. Maybe we too would have been Ovdei Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, I'll send you a Navi. Not only will I send you a Navi, I'll send you one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was installed as a Navi for technical reasons, in order to allay any taina on the part of the Goyim. He did not become a Navi through personal omel and achievement. He was installed as a Navi just simply in order to make sure that the Goyim didn't have a taina. And therefore, if we ask the question, how can it be that Bilam was such a lowly individual? The kasha is a non-starter. That's what he was, and that's what he remained. The fact that he was zoicha to colossal levels of nevuah, that doesn't necessarily change a person. What changes a person is yogati umotzasi. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz himself, elsewhere in his sefer, that was Maimer Pei, in Maimer Nun Vov, explains that this is really the way that we can understand a number of difficult-sounding parashiyos in the Torah. The Chet HaEgel, the classic Avera, the greatest Avera. It's true. Chazal point out, Rashi says this quite clearly in Parshas Kisiso, that they only sinned because of the Erev Rav. It was the Erev Rav who really got them to sin. And yet the question must be asked, Haguf HaKasha? The Erev Rav who came out of Mitzrayim, they too went through Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayaminu Bashem Ubamoisha Avdoi. They also pointed to Hashem Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. So how indeed did they hit rock bottom, end up being Oved Avodah Zarah? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Kushya Me'ikara Leisa. The question is a non-starter. Their levels were achieved as a gift, but not through Omol. Are we aware, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that at the time of Matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying the words, Loi yeh lecho Elohim acherim al ponai, do not serve Avodah Zarah, are we aware that there were members of Klal Yisrael who were actually at the time listening to those words, embracing Avodah Zarah? Who was that person? As we find later on in the Navi, the Pesel Micha. Micha was present at the time of Matan Torah and Kriyas Yamsuf. And he, there, is embracing Avodah Zarah. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz once again, yes, there was Zoicha to the greatest revelation of all time, namely Matan Torah. But that revelation doesn't change anybody. A person changes, a person becomes elevated only through personal omol. That is not specifically true in Torah only, it is a general principle in all of Avodas Hashem. Another difficult parasha, the greatest chet, the chet hamaraglim, Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in Parashas Shalach, that the emunah that was achieved by Klal Yisrael was only based on what they saw. They saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can indeed overcome the Malchus of Paroi. But one moment. We come into Eretz Yisrael. There are 31 kings there. Who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu can overcome them as well? Ki chozok hu mimenu, as Rashi points out. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol is not strong enough. One second. Where was Klal Yisrael's emunah? The answer is, when your emunah is superficial, it's only based on what you've seen, but not on personal growth and omol, then what you see is what you get. So we've only seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu can overcome one king. What about 31? We have no precedent for that. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in yet another maimah in Kuf Beis, explains with this a very famous Sefer HaChinuch, and with this we'll conclude. The Torah writes in Parashas Tzav that there is a mitzvah to ignite the fire on the Mizbeach Eish Hamizbeach Tukad Boy. And the question must be asked, aren't we told by Chazal that a heavenly fire descended from heaven and arrived on the Mizbeach, and then L'chayr was surely no necessity, therefore, for Klal Yisrael to light a fire? So the Sefer Achinuch lays down a very important principle, and he says, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles, but they are inevitably and invariably couched in an element of Teva. So that if somebody wants to explain away and say, well, perhaps it wasn't miraculous after all, there's always room for a mistake. V'nire ho'inyonim na'asim k'tzas. They appear slightly ki'ilu heim b'darkei ha'teva. Yes, you must light a fire on the Mizbeach, so that in theory, if somebody wants to explain the existence of the fire on the Mizbeach, well, it all came through natural means. And what's his example? His example is that even at Kriyas Yamsuf, which is arguably the greatest nes in the history of all civilization, but what does it say in Parashas Shalach? Parashas B'Shalach? Vayoylech Hashem es ruach azo. There was a tremendous easterly wind that blew at the same time as Kriyas Yamsuf. Why was this wind in presence? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, to give you mokim for a mistake. In theory, you could explain, do you know how the sea split? Because there was an enormous hurricane, and somehow that caused the Kriya of Yamsuf. In fact, I once heard that in Massachusetts University, USA, a team of scientists produced the following experiment. An Olympic-sized swimming pool. They positioned strategically, they experimented in various directions, enormous industrial-sized fans. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 enormous fans. And after playing around and experimenting them, they managed to position them such that they managed to have the water blown apart from side to side. The conclusion, therefore, being Kriyas Yamsuf was indeed not a nes. Because it's quite clear that you can split water with very powerful wind energy. And we say a yasher koyach to this team of Massachusetts scientists. They are merely backing up the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. Precisely. Every nes can be explained as it were, well, it wasn't really miraculous, perhaps it was just a very strong easterly wind. And the question is, why indeed does HaKadosh Baruch Hu produce nisim in this manner? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to produce a nes like Kriyas Yamsuf, why indeed did it need to be couched in Teva? So let me read to you the words of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Zuhi avoidosoi shel ha'odom bo'olamoi. This is the entire service, this is the entire avoido of a person olam hazeh. To reach the emes, al yedei yegi'osoi, through his toiling. We must realize what's happened over here, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. This is a remarkable observation. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings this very strong wind, don't we all agree that to an extent this is now minimizing the great Kiddush Hashem? Because now there's room for debate that perhaps it wasn't such a miracle after all. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being memayit the Kiddush Hashem? And the answer is, because if Nisim were all so clear, then human beings would basically become converted to angels, where there's ultimate clarity, no mistake, no mocking for a tos. Rather, loy l'shem kach nivra ha'odom. That's not why a person was created. A person was created to reach the emes through his personal toil, such that even nisim, which are there precisely for the purpose of being Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, but that too has to come about through Omol. Because if you're not prepared to be omol, what will you see? You'll see it very superficially, a great wind. The water was split, as backed up by our good friends in Massachusetts, and there was no miracle after all. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately left a mokum for Taos, such that if you want to see the miracle, it requires omol. It requires toil to be able to see through that easterly wind. That's how a person grows in his Avodas Hashem. And this is therefore a remarkable yesod, a very fundamental yesod. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Ah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would only show me a miracle"? But we need to realize that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us miracles, that doesn't necessarily change people. Those who are present at Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf, Fort Geblibben Ashifcha. Miracles don't change people. What does change people? Yogati Umotsosi Ta'amin. The principle of Yegiyah. Odom La'omol Yulod. Not limited only to the inyan of Torah Akadosha, but all of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, if we understand the chait of the Meraglim, the chait of the Egel, all based on this principle, then this is the Yesoi that sheds light on Parashas Bilam. What was the question that we began with? How can it possibly be that Bilam reached such phenomenal levels of Nevuah and yet behaved in such animalistic fashion? There seems to be a non-reconcilable contradiction. There is no contradiction whatsoever. In fact, the question is a non-starter. If a person is omol v'yogea to achieve nevuah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Yecheskel HaNovi, then indeed they become great. But if nevuah is gifted, fort geblibben ashifcha. And that's what happened to Bilam. What happened to Bilam? Nothing happened to Bilam. The very same corrupt, lowly, immoral Bilam that he was to start off with, who was gifted Nevuah merely for technical reasons to allay the tainas of the Goyim, that was not greatness that was achieved through Omol, and therefore nothing happened to him whatsoever. A very, very phenomenal Yesod of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, which, as mentioned, can really be summed up in three words: Yogati Umotsosi Ta'amin. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.